No, we, you know, I mean, we just, we, the Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
Say that one more time, please. One more time. Boom! One more time. Boom!
Welcome to the Bear Essentials. On today's show, we preview the 2022 draft class and their expected roles this season and much, much more. A-Dub, what's the good word, my guy?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Holiday pass, friends. I'm done eating barbecue for a while, man.
Man, I'm telling you, I ain't good over the weekend, brother. Can't even complain, man. Can't even complain. Sad news out of Highland Park. I wanted to take a couple moments here and, you know, give my condolences to any family and friends of any of the victims and any of the people that were affected by that tragedy. I mean, A-Dub, it's getting crazy out here, man. Every week we're on this show talking about this world, man, just not being the world that we're not being our best versions of ourselves right now, man. We're really not.
No, we're not. We definitely not, man. You're right, man. What happened in Highland Park was tough to even hear, tough to even digest. And then it's on 4th of July at that. It's hard, man. And I hate to see tragic things like that happening because people are just trying to celebrate, have a good time, Perez. And when stuff like that happens, when you're trying to have a good time, that's even tougher, right?
I mean, dude, it happened 30 minutes from my crib, bro. And honestly, A-Dub, I didn't even really know what was going on. I was at the gym trying to get like a little quick little workout in, and then mm-hmm. my phone started blowing up. Everybody's like, hey, you good? You good? I'm like, yeah, man, I'm just at the gym. I had no idea what was going on. And then when I like got to the crib and I saw it on TV and I'm like, dude, this is crazy. We just were talking about a mass shooting a week ago.
Yep.
And here we are all over again. And the guy was at large and I'm thinking like, well, shit, that's only half hour from here. I'm like, well, I'm going to stay in the crib until they figure this thing out. So now I'm going to lock down the crib.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, bro. Crazy.
Very crazy, man. And it's sad, like you said, man. Too many of these mass shootings continue to happen. And for us, we got to do something about this stuff, man. It's just happening way too often, man.
No, it really is. And I don't even know what you can do because it's a combination of the gun laws. It's a combination of mental illness.
Yep.
And some people will say, well, they're like prayers. But is it only mental illness in men? Because women ain't out here doing that shit. And it's like, well, shit, I don't know. You got a good point because I've had some people say that to me. I don't know what it is, man. I really can't put my finger on it. I just know that we're in a society, man, where people just don't care about the other person's life. And that's sad. You know what I mean? It really is.
Yeah, it's sad, man. And for that reason alone, Perez, you're right. We don't have the solutions, but we got to try something, right? Don't help anybody by doing nothing. So something got to be done, some kind of change, man, to try to get things in the right perspective. But just seeing it and watching it and seeing how people are impacted by it, Perez, the tears and the fear. That's too much, man. I don't want anybody having fear of wanting to go outside for us to an event. You know what I'm saying? That's hard, bro. Really hard.
Like a parade, you know, like, and then in Philly, they had the issue there where they had shooting at the fireworks. To your point, A-Dub, I think it's going to come to a point where people are going to be like, I'm not going to any large events.
Right. And rightfully so.
But we shouldn't be at that point, man. And that's the thing. It's like you would think that 4th of July, whatever occasion it may be, you're free and welcome to do whatever you want to do. I mean, you know I run 5Ks and half marathons. Now that's been going to my head lately. Like, man, I don't know about running in these 5Ks now.
Because it seems like that's when things happen, when there's big crowds around, somebody want to do something crazy, Chris. Hey, but tragically, you know, to harm other people. And that's just not right.
No, it really isn't. But again, on behalf of the Bear Essentials, we want to give our heartfelt condolences to any of the victims, any of their family and friends and just loved ones. Like, it's just tough, man. And I want to get into the episode here, but I wanted to start the show off by acknowledging that because that happened in our backyard. This happened in our Chicagoland area. And I thought that it's appropriate for us to bring that up on this show.
Very well said, Fred.
So, A-Dub, let's get into the show, man. I wanted to get your thoughts. We didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, but we see where Ryan Poles, man, this man right here, he's showing he showed a little ruthless side because he fired your boy Sue Kim. Now, A-Dub, this one kind of caught me off guard because I'm like, okay. Yeah. Sue Campbell was a part of the team that interviewed and helped Ryan Poles get his gig. And my man Ryan Poles fired him on his vacation, on his day off.
Like, really, dude? You couldn't wait till he came back from vacation? You couldn't have a face-to-face conversation? This is over the phone. I'm like, it just shows you, like, what kind of relationship does Ryan Poles have with Sue Campbell? It came across kind of harsh, Perez, and I was, like, very well shocked, too.
Well, so this is the thing now, A-Dub. When I saw it come over the way it did, two things popped in my head. First thing was, I wonder if something that's really, really serious happened because of the nature of how he fired him. But then Two, it also kind of made me think, well, everybody's talking about how Sue Campbell was popular with the players, but we're talking about a losing culture on this team in the past. So in that's one true. Instance, I was kind of like, well, who cares if the players were like the guy? If he was a part of that losing culture, then he could go.
I get that part of it, but I kind of look at it as well, like, why not? This is like, I don't know. Perez is making you speculate, like, did something really happen over the last couple of weeks? But you're right. The culture has been a losing culture, and he was part of it. But still, at the end of the day, like, why all of a sudden now? Because it kind of came like all of a sudden.
When Poles had that first press conference, and you remember that?
Yeah.
He thanked each member of the committee by name, including Sue Campbell. And so Tanisha Wade, she was also a part of that committee. She didn't get fired. So in my mind, and I've even put some feelers out there, A-Dub and audience, I asked some of my friends in law enforcement, I'm like, hey, did anything come across y'all blotter about this guy? Did he do anything? And they said, as far as they're concerned, they didn't see nothing come across on him. So I'm really scratching my head here. Like, what the hell happened? But you know it's got to be something deeper, and we'll probably never find out what exactly happened.
Or we just might when Sue Campbell get a chance to speak out. I don't think so he might decide to throw something out there, or maybe not, Chris, to your point. But it'll be interesting to hear, does he have something to say?
If Bears fans, if you guys haven't noticed anything about Ryan Poles, he's completely changed around his personnel department, scouts, and also other officials. Man, this might just be another move by Poles to just surround himself and Matt Eberflus with people that they're more comfortable with and who were not a part of the last regime. That's part of why he made this move. But just to do it on his vacation, though? Damn.
Yeah, man, that's kind of hard right there, Perez, to take an L like that, to find out while you're chilling out with your family, probably having a good time, and then you get a phone call, hey, it's Ryan Poles. Hey, how you doing, man? You probably chopping up with them. I got to tell you, man, your time is up, you know?
Well, I tell you one thing, man. I have never been fired from a job before in my life, and I can only imagine if I'm on vacation. You just think about this. Sue Campbell, he's a part of this personnel department. They're putting in long hours, been putting in a lot of work, probably a well-deserved vacation for him. And you get that type of call on your vacation? That puts a damper on your vacation.
It's over. Vacation over.
Yeah, I just think the timing and the manner of way it happened, there's just, it, to me, you can't tell me that there's not more to the story here. And I think we'll hear it out. But I think my first reaction was like, damn, that was harsh. But we never know. There's always another side to the story. That's why you can't always have that first reaction until all details come out. You know what I mean?
I'm with you there, Perez. I think there's probably going to be some more details that come out. They may not all come out at once, but they're going to come out.
My last point on this, man. People don't get fired on their vacation for no reason. So, like I said, it's something there. We just haven't gotten all the information there. But like I said, Sue Campbell was one of the people that was instrumental in bringing Ryan Poles here. I'm wondering and thinking that he probably couldn't have taken that firing lightly. So I'm just wondering if it's just more to the story, A-Dub. It has to be, right? It has to.
It ain't going to happen just like that, man.
What if it's a legal matter? Sometimes it's a legal matter. You got to give it 72 hours to play out. Then you can make a move, and you have to make a move quickly. Because then if it was a legal matter and Ryan Poles sat on it and didn't fire the guy, then he could have taken heat for that.
So it is possible that, you know what, maybe Sue Campbell probably knew this was coming. You just never know.
Yeah, you don't. And that's the thing. So we're all speculating here. We don't know anything. I will tell y'all this. I did try to find out something. I was hitting up all kind of people I know in law enforcement. Man, they had nothing. I'm like, damn, nothing? Wait, now, let's get into it, man. So in this episode, audience, we're going to talk about a couple things. Before we get into our preview of the draft class and their roles for the 2022 season, A-Dub, I wanted to talk through the offense. I wanted to get your thoughts on an area of the offense that concerns you heading into training camp and obviously going into the season as of right now.
What concerns me, Prez, and this may also hit you as well, is that I am still concerned about the chemistry of this offense. When I mean chemistry, I'll be talking about Justin Fields and the wide receiver core. That's still a point. I know people talk about the talent level, but for me, it's more important about the chemistry level, because you don't have that, Perez, it's going to be tough. And we saw last season, right? Now, I'm not going to throw all the blame on the coaching staff, but the chemistry just didn't seem there either, man. Like, those guys, something was off. Right. So if you don't have a good chemistry with this unit here, and you know, I know, Perez, sometimes chemistry takes a while. And I see Darnell Mooney, you know, Muddy Moon and Justin Fields been getting it in. But what about everybody else, Perez? What about everybody else? Pringle, Jones Jr., like, what's happening there, man? How are we going to get there? So that's a big problem, a big concern for me going into this.
Well, Velas, he's going to head up to he's going to head out there to Atlanta and post up a Muddy Moon and Justin. So I think he's kind of came in right away. We talked about it in the show how he's kind of looking and seeing how those guys have that chemistry together. I think that chemistry is something important, but I also think, to piggyback off what you said, I think that wide receiver position, while I think that they're going to probably be better than what a lot of people are giving them credit for.
Right.
Let's just be honest. As of right now, when teams are looking at that wide receiver core, I don't think a lot of teams are afraid of this damn Bears. But I think we can surprise some people. And you know what name that people aren't really talking about a lot right now? Is Daz Newsome. Now, he was a guy last year that we kind of hyped up on the show. You know, rookie, electric player from the University of North Carolina. I know A-Dub is a basketball school. I get it. However, this kid had an injury-plagued rookie year. No one's really talking about him. That's a guy right here that I think could prove himself this summer. I think that this guy could make a role for himself. The opportunities are out there.
Hey, Perez, you hit it right on the head, man. They actually are. And the good thing you and I keep talking about when it comes down to with Eberflus is that, hey, he's not married to anybody right now. So Daz has a great chance, man, so to show some folks, hey, what he's able to do. So this will be good for him, and I hope he's able to do that, Perez.
No, I agree with you. But I think that offensive line, that's something that we've talked about a shit ton this offseason. Audience, this ain't a surprise. Nope. Justin Fields, as we talk about, one of the most important pieces of this team, not just this season, but going forward. And when you look at this offensive line, there's still a lot of question marks, and we're going to get into that when we talk about our position battles a little bit later on in the show. However, we don't really know who's going to be where. We don't really know what these guys are going to be able to do. We don't know much about the scheme. We don't know much about the play calling. We don't know much about the system. And so right now when I look at things and I'm like, oh, man, are they going to be able to protect Justin? Because that guy got hit way too often last season. You and I talked about that so much last season. You don't bring a rookie quarterback, a franchise caliber rookie quarterback in here and don't protect him.
Right.
That's the easiest way to lose a young quarterback. So for me, it's got to be that offensive line, bro. Got to be the offensive line. They got to get that shit sorted up at training camp. Find you five guys and stick with those five guys. I don't want to see the musical chairs. Just find the five best guys and get them out there.
Because you get it right on the head, man. When you say stick with five guys, bro, that is deep. Because we've been seeing musical chairs a lot. Putting people over here at the left tackle, putting people at the right tackle, right? A lot of musical chairs going on right there. You're right, man. We got to get to that point to where, hey, you know what? This is our five. We're going with that, man. So I don't know who it's going to be, what it's going to look like. You're right. I have no clue. But that chemistry going to matter too. So they need time together.
In fact, still, you know, because speaking of that, now when you think about position battles, think about that offensive tackle. Now, for one while there, they had Borum over at left tackle, Jenkins over at right tackle. Then we see when then they do the flip, when they put Borum back at right tackle and they elevate Braxton Jones to left tackle. Now Tevin Jenkins is running with the twos. You got Sam Mustafa at right guard. You know, we already knew Patrick was going to be at center, and we knew that Cody Whitehair was going to be a left guard. But when you think about position battles, A-Dub, right now, what's going to happen with those tackles? I think that's got to be the biggest position battle on that offense. It has to be. What's going to happen there at offensive tackle?
And you're right. I have no idea what's going to happen there. But you're right. It's a lot of battles going on with that, with Tevin Jenkins, Borum, and your boy Braxton. I don't know who got the edge right now. We've seen different guys. I'm just sticking, Perez. But that battle is going to be very interesting to see who win it.
And the one thing that we know, of anything that we've heard about Matt Eberflus, his real evaluation with this team doesn't start until the pads come on. And that's why training camps will be so important to a lot of positions on this team. And I think at this point, that's when we see between Jones and Jenkins, who's going to be their guy. Because that's what I think it comes down to. I think Larry Borum has shown his organization enough that he's going to be one of the guys. I think right now they're trying to figure out what they have in Tevin Jenkins.
Man, that would be sad based upon what always happened to Jenkins last season with the injury prayers and, you know, everything else. It's like, man, to not be that left tackle or might not even start on the offensive line, that'll be interesting. Very interesting, bro.
True, but what did I mention to you before, A-Dub? Because now I mentioned about that right guard position and yep. Sam Mustipher kicked over to right guard, which I don't have a lot of confidence in that position. And who's to say that they're not trying to figure out a way of maybe kicking in Tevin Jenkins to guard, maybe kicking in Larry Borum to guard. And so now when I look at this right guard position, don't you fans, the audience, do not believe for one second that Sam Mustipher is safe over there at that right guard position. He's going to have some competition in training camp. And I guarantee you, one of the odd people out in the offensive tackle battle is going to get kicked into guard.
Yep. Whoever that is, Brez, you're right. They're going to have to battle Sam Mustipher. And you're right, Sam, you got to step your game up if you really want that spot because somebody is hunting to get that role.
Because what we've learned from Matt Eberflus, A-Dub, is that all of these positions – especially there, I mean, all those different combinations that he has on the offensive line, that's just fluid and it's open. And they're keeping things flexible for a reason.
Right. And the thing that you and I was talking about, Perez, is we do apply people being that have that versatility. I get you can play multiple positions. You can play left tackle. You probably can play the right tackle. I give some of you guys credit. But where are you going to be? What's going to be your main position coming into this season?
Fair point. Because the thing is, if it is Borum and Jones at the tackle position, then okay, fine. Tevin Jenkins either be the swing tackle or he moves in the guard or just maybe they go out and get a veteran in free agency and right. Put him in at right guard. There's so many ways they can go with this, A-Dub.
I agree. That's an option. You're right. Can still go out and get somebody. So, but at the end of the day, Perez, what you going to do? Just do it. Hey.
Slot corner. We know this is going to be a position battle. A-Dub, on the last episode, you made your prediction that you thought Thomas Graham Jr. is going to win that job out. I can't wait to see that battle because I think that Thomas Graham Jr., he's going to be up for the challenge. Now, we got Tavon Young, the veteran, who I'm over here pulling for because, listen, man, injuries have robbed Tavon Young of some opportunities in the National Football League. And I think this guy's got a lot of talent. I thought it was a really savvy signing by Ryan Poles. But I think A-Dub, this slot corner – it's going to be a really good competition this summer.
Yeah, and the other thing I was thinking about, Perez, you're right. Young have had some tough situations, man, definitely with the ACL injuries, Perez. Those kind of things add up and they hurt you, man. You know that already, Perez. That's what I'm thinking with Thomas Graham and Dream. Like, hey, you might have a chance to, you know, may have a shot to beat out Young. Not saying that Young not going to get no reps or anything in, Perez. It's just that, hey, who's going to kick it off, you know? But you're right. Seeing Young bounce back and be able to hold it down, that'll be a great story for him for sure. But you know what? You got a young phenom on the way, in my opinion. Thomas Graham Jr. working, baby, trying to get that spot.
But I was just saying, regardless of who wins out, I mean, we're going to have some depth at that position finally. Because last season, you audience, you guys know, that position, cornerback, slot corner, it was awful. You know what I mean? I'm not going to retrace that on this show. But even still, we're going to still have a lot more depth this season, and we're better for it. And I do appreciate the fact that what Ryan Poles did with that position, especially on defense. I thought he's done a really good job of shoring up some holes that we had.
And that is the depth piece right there, because that's something we've always been lacking in, really. You know, if Tavon Young can't go, do we got somebody else ready, right? If Thomas Graham can't go, do we have somebody else ready? So it's like having depth pieces, that's what you need in this business. So at least we'll know that, hey, we got two guys who probably can be successful with it, have the chance of being successful with it.
Now, you talked about wide receiver earlier. You talked about chemistry. I think wide receiver is another position battle that the wide receiver position is another area where I expect to see a lot of position battles for spots because we talk about it so much on the show, A-Dub. Outside of Darnell Mooney and probably Byron Pringle, we don't know how the rest of that wide receiver core is going to pan out. You got a lot of guys vying for four or five spots.
I totally agree with you. You got Daz Newsome, St. Brown, right? You got Sharp. Dante Pettis, you don't know what's going to happen with those guys. Who's going to take the lead there, Perez? But they all getting a fair shot to show what they're able to do. So it's going to be an interesting battle with those guys fighting.
Yeah, don't forget about Velus Jones either. You know, he's in this, you know, as well. So to your point, though, You got a lot of guys, man, vying for them spots. And that's going to be heated competition. But I will tell you this. I look for Pettis and Sharp to definitely probably end up making this team. So you got to think about that. Now you probably got Velus, Mooney, Pringle, Sharp, and Tajay Sharp and Dante Pettis. Now you got right. The other guys fighting for those other spots.
Ooh. And the thing is, with that competition, if you want something, you got to earn it. So, and the good thing is that, as we keep talking about, Perez, there's no bias going on right now. So everyone has a fair shot at earning what they want. And it's going to get tougher and tougher, man, as them pads get on, Perez. It's going to be tough, baby.
Now, I spoke about defense and how I like the fact that Ryan Poles has incorporated a little bit better depth. Nose tackle is another position, A-Dub, that I think with us transitioning to the 4-3 defense and losing all the starters that we did, Hakeem Hicks, Andy Goldman, and Bilal Nichols.
Yeah.
And losing out on Big Larry. Now, I know we signed Justin Jones. He's going to be that starting three technique. But that nose guard position, A-Dub, I think Angelo Blackson, we talk about Big Tonga. That's going to be a position that we're going to be looking at. Mike Pendle, who came in here,
A-Dub? Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm.
From the Chiefs. That's another guy that they brought in for depth purposes. So my thing is that nose tackle position, audience, don't forget about that one.
Because I still think Tonga still has to earn it. Can't be given anything here, Perez. I thought he'd done some good things last season, you and I talked about. But, man, still got to go to the next level. So if he wants it, want to keep it and run with it, you got to come prepared, baby. You got to bring it.
Well, when I look at that position, to your point, Tonga, who I think is going to be a nice emerging young player for this team,
yep.
But when I look at Angelo Blackson, I look at him, he can play. He's very versatile.
He is.
And you know, we talk about that versatility on this team a lot. And I think that probably might give him an edge over a Tonga because he's experienced and he can play multiple roles on that defensive line.
And I like his toughness too, man. So, you know, it wouldn't shock me if he was to be the one, right, Perez? Because you're right. He got that versatility. You make a good point there. So it's going to be a good battle between both of them. What's more important, Blackson, right. Who got a little bit more versatility there. So you can go either way with it, but they both give you two different looks.
And like I said, I was bringing up Pendle earlier. He's got experience in the 4-3. So even whoever loses out, you still got a lot of depth there at the position. So I really like what Poles has done there. Last position battle, A-Dub, that I wanted to get into with you is a strong side linebacker. So obviously, we're moving down to that 4-3. Is a greater need at that linebacker position, right? Especially when you think about Roquan Smith, hey, you got to have some people by him that's ready to roll.
Right.
And now they signed Nicholas Moreau. That was your boy that you met at the Bears draft party.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll probably end up putting him, at the weak side or the middle linebacker role with Roquan Smith. But when you look at the other guys, it's like, okay, who's going to play at the strong side? It's going to be Matt Adams. Yeah, he got into a little bit of trouble there in the offseason, but – he was one that they were looking at. Our buddy, friend of the podcast, Caleb Johnson, is he going to get a shot? We don't know. But right now, I feel like this might be Matt Adams' job to lose if he can stay out of trouble. But I also look at Caleb Johnson and say, hey, don't sleep on him now.
Yeah, don't sleep on Caleb. He showed some things last season, but again, it's like he's a guy that can still make some improvement for us, that can still grow. Hey, look, got a lot of talent, I believe, from my perspective, but that's a kid that can really emerge for us. So if he continues to develop, he could be one of those guys that come to show us something this coming season.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, look, Ado, before we get out of here, let's review our draft class and let's kind of talk through what we expect their roles to be over the course of this 2022 season. So I'm going to start off with talking about Doug Kramer, offensive lineman. We also had Jatir Carter, and we also had Zach Thomas. So these are all guys that were drafted towards the bottom of the draft. So what do you expect their role to be here in this 2022 season?
I don't think they're going to have big roles, Perez. It should be probably minor, very minimal, play a big role this coming season. Still, I think they still in development mode, Perez. They might play, again, role be very limited. And they playing time. So, you know, I still think these guys are still on the cusp of still getting better and trying to be better players and still growing. So I think we got to get these guys some time.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, too. I think these guys are all competing to make the final 53-man roster, which they probably will. But one thing that's kind of interesting, so Thomas and Kramer saw reps with the starters during mandatory minicamp. And so that's probably an indication that they're competing for backup jobs. So that's a good sign to see. So more than likely, they'll probably be reserves. They'll probably make the 53-man roster.
Yeah, nothing wrong with having those guys in reserves, Perez. I think that's cool, too, because we still can use the depth.
All right, what about safety Elijah Hicks?
Elijah Hicks, I still think he's going to be somebody that's going to be battling DeAndre Houston Carson for probably that third spot, you know, from a safety standpoint. I think he has a chance, Perez, but, you know, it's still going to be a battle for him. So I think his role probably going to be limited because the thing is, I know DeAndre Houston Carson is someone that we're pretty still high on, and I think the Bears gave him that one-year deal because they see something in him. So it's going to be a little bit tough for Elijah to get some reps in.
Well, I thought Elijah Hicks, when the Bears drafted him, I thought it was a good quality draft pick because the only reason why Hicks fell in the draft in the first place is because he broke his foot training for the East-West Shrine Game. So when I look at a guy like that, to your point, A-Dub, if he's healthy, he's not going to factor into any sort of starting equation this season because we're good there. We got Eddie and we got Jaquan Brisker. However, right. I think the Hicks has the potential to develop into a decent free safety down the road.
Down the road,
and
yes.
I think that to your point, I think he'll probably end up making the team and probably be someone that'll kind of vibe with Houston Carson. He'll probably be like a special teams player and a reserve, I think, in the upcoming season.
And I can see that for sure, right? Like you said, Perez, special team. I can see him there without a doubt.
Now, there's a guy that went undrafted, Jack Sanborn, who was really impressive to the organization over the course of the offseason program. Linebacker from Wisconsin. So, A-Dub, what do you think his role is going to be here in the 2022 season?
I think you hit on the head when you were talking about, you know, Morrow and Roquan Smith, who's going to back those guys up, right? I think he has a chance, man. I think he can be somebody that could come in, you know, get some reps in, Perez. I don't think his role going to be huge, right, because we know that Roquan loves to play. You know, we know Morrow wants to get his shine in. So he's going to be a guy that play a limited role, and I can see him getting some chances, but he's going to be in the reserve role.
Yeah, I think so as well. I was actually surprised that he went undrafted because when I was following him in the Big Ten, this guy always made plays. I mean, he was always in the backfield, had so many tackles for a loss. And he actually sacked the quarterback a decent amount as well. But when it comes to this current 2022 team and his role, I agree with you, probably more of a reserve, more of a special teams contributor. Mm-hmm. But I think you hit it right on the head, having that guy backing up Morrow, Roquan, and so forth. I think that'll be a really good spot for him. But I think he's got a really good chance to make this 53-man roster.
I think so too, Perez. And I hope he makes it, man.
All right, Trustin Ebner, running back.
Man, I think he has a chance of being the third running back on this team, Perez. I believe so, man. After Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, I think he has the chance. He can also probably play on kickoff and punt return. I think he'll probably have some time there as well. But I think this is a guy who will probably make the roster and can do dual things. So he could be a guy spare the moment someone to get injured. You know how it is the season. But I think he's somebody we still keep on the roster that can help out in many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, A-Dub, I think you pretty much summed it up perfectly. I think he'll probably end up having that third running back spot. I think that he is probably going to end up getting some time in special teams.
Yep.
Punt return, kickoff return, as you mentioned. But because of his versatility, I also expect for him to carve out a small little role on offense because whether it's a receiver, whether it's like, you know, out of the backfield on like some jet sweeps, I think they're going to find some unique ways to get him out in the mix. So I think he's going to figure in pretty nicely. I think they're going to find a way to get him on the field. Dominique Robinson, defensive end.
I can see him on the reserve role, Perez, probably special team. You know, I think he a guy still in development mode, I believe. I like him as an edge rusher, but still going to need some more time for development, Perez. So I can see him, you know, again, special teams and reserve.
Yeah, I think AW, once again, you summed it up very well here. I also see the same thing with Dominique. I think reserve, special teams type of guy. Now, you got to look at it. The Bears drafted Trevis Gibson a couple seasons ago and it kind of viewed him as like a developmental prospect. And this is the same way that I view Dominique Robinson. But you know what was really interesting? When Trevis Gibson spoke about Dominique Robinson, he said that Dominique Robinson was way ahead of where he was at as a rookie. So that goes to show you that Trevis is like putting it out there like, look, I had to, you know, grow into this role and I had to like figure things out. He's like, hey, this kid, he's all right. And so it bodes well for the future with this pick of having a guy, Dominique Robinson, who Trevis Gibson already feels like he's kind of emerging already or he's kind of getting there. So I think to piggyback off what you said, reserve role. But I think he has the potential to be exactly what a lot of us are predicting that Trevis Gibson is going to be here in this 2022 season in the future.
That's mad respect right there. First of all, Gibson said, but to your point, Chris, you're spot on. We continue so that growth. we're pretty much saying the upside is there for him, the ceiling. So if he can continue to make those steps there, Perez, hey, the sky's the limit, man. I'm hoping he can turn to a Trevis Gibson, because you have high hopes for Gibson this coming season.
12 sacks, baby. 12 sacks. Yeah. As far as this season right here, I think he'll get into the rotation there a little bit, probably get some reps, but mostly special teams guy. But he'll definitely make the 53-man roster. All right, punter Trenton Gill.
Oh, that's his spot, man.
Yes, sir.
There's no way. With Pat O'Donnell gone, man, it's all yours, man. You don't got to look over your shoulder, worry about anything. Just go out there and do your job and do a great one at that.
Yeah, Ryan Winslow, who they signed, they released him. So, like you said, this was a no-brainer. This is his job.
Right. Just handle your business.
And honestly, we don't even really want to talk about the punter all that much. You do your job, we'll never talk about you on the show.
That's facts right there, friend.
The one thing that I will say, and I brought this up a little bit last season or a little bit earlier in the offseason, with losing Pat O'Donnell, he had that chemistry with Cairo Santos because he was the holder. Now, it's going to be very important for Trenton Gill to make sure that he has that same chemistry, because we don't want Cairo to start to lose his way, you know what I'm saying? Because chemistry and everything is important in your special team, especially with the holder and the kicker.
Well, I hope he don't screw it up. I'm just hoping that, hey, this chemistry here still works and Cairo Santos still look great.
Yes, sir. All right, Braxton Jones.
This is the one here, Perez. He got a shot at the LT, man, left tackle. I don't know if he's going to get it, or do know for sure he is going to play. He's going to get some reps, man. He's going to get a lot of playing time. I'm just not sure where it's going to be at. So he could be the one that won that left tackle job.
The audience, you guys know what I'm about to say on this one, because I said during our draft recap that this man will be starting at left tackle. I said, do not be surprised. Right now, heading into training camp, he's the guy at left tackle, potentially. And I think if I'm making my prediction right now, I say that he's the likely starter in week one. I really feel really confident about that.
Man, Perez, I just want him to hold his own ground and show the world, hey, what he's made of.
Hey, listen, fifth-round draft pick. A lot of people knew that this kid had potential and talent. Most people said, oh, down the road, he's going to be a left tackle prospect. Well, it looks like the Bears saw something earlier. They're like, no, we're going to try to get him out on the field now. So this thing,
right,
when you look at this, entering training camp as the number one guy there, it's showing, like, hey, listen, they got confidence in you, and it's your job to lose.
That's true.
I would have just loved to see him and Khalil Mack going head up in training camp. Man, that would have been an awesome dynamic.
Man, that would have been beautiful right there. But it is what it is.
Especially since we don't know what's going to happen with Robert. So he ain't going to have no matchups potentially either.
Man, that's a tough right there, what's going on with Robert. But that's another story too, Prez. I just wish you want to see this kid go and get some of the best, right? And that's what I want to see. And I think that's what we've been robbed of right now, Prez.
Yeah, exactly. Because iron sharp is iron. Everybody knows that. And that's why I also think that it's kind of like it's unfortunate for Braxton, because you want him to face off with one of the best, one of the premier pass rushers in the league, and Robert Quinn. That's Trevis Gibson, we know that he's ascending. But it's levels to this now.
That's true. We saw Robert Quinn did last season. If that wasn't enough for you to know what the levels look like, hey, you even watching football. So, hey, I would love to see this kid get a chance to get a taste of that, you know, that action there, man. But it's kind of unfortunate at this point right now. But we'll see. Still got time.
Yep. All right, A-Dub, Velus Jones.
I can see Velus Jones as the number three wide receiver, Perez, on this team.
Yes, sir. I see that, too. I mean, you got to think about it. This organization during the offseason – they were hyping him up. They were talking about the different ways that they were excited to use him. He's going out to Atlanta to train with Darnell Mooney and Justin Fields.
Yep.
I don't see any way that this kid's not the number three receiver.
Yeah, he's putting the work in, Perez. You and I talked about this already, being the only one of his kind on this team that can do that kind of stuff. You know, so this kid got a lot, man. I like his speed. I like the young guy. I mean, I'm just hoping that it all works out for him, continuing to train, would work out with Money Moon and Justin Fields, and that kind of help him get better, man, throughout this training camp.
Listen, like we talked about the speed, I think that they're going to find really cool ways to utilize his run after the catch ability. I think that's something we're going to see a lot of. And Darnell Mooney, I mean, he raved about this kid and said he's got a potential to be a big-time playmaker in this offense. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm here for it, Money Moon. I'm here for it.
Yes, sir. I want to see that playmaking ability more often, man.
All right, A-Dub, Jaquan Brisker.
I'll start in that safety, man, without a doubt. we know this coming, Perez. But what I will say this, Perez, people may call me crazy, but I think this kid has a chance of being a pro bowler his first year.
Hmm. A little hot take. Okay. A-Dub, listen, if that happens, I'm here for it. But I'm I told you that I thought you was going to be the best player out of this whole draft class. So me and A-Dub, we kind of put a lot of pressure on you now. I hope it ain't too much for you. I know it ain't. I know it ain't. You built for this shit, bro. You built for this shit.
I'm with you there, Perez. I think you built for this. But at that heart, I mean, he's very competitive. You know that already, but Perez. So I think he built for this stuff too, man. I'm with you.
Listen, the versatility, the fact that this kid's got turnover making ability and that DNA of his. We've heard about the offseason, how he was out there wrecking havoc on the practice field. Man, I can't wait to see him out there at Hallis Hall this summer. I mean, bruh, I can't believe that he fell to the Bears when he did. I think he's the steal of the draft for the Chicago Bears. I really do. I really think this kid right here was a home run pick by Ryan Poles. I love everything that he's about, and I just can't wait to see him out there on the football field.
And I will say this, Chris, Eddie Jackson is going to love playing with this kid.
I hope so, because he's physical. And Eddie Jackson needs to have somebody like that playing next to him, because then maybe Eddie can go back to freelancing a little bit. And maybe we can see Eddie back there making explosive plays. So we'll see what happens. But I'm telling you, Brisker, he's physical, man. He ain't afraid to put his fucking hat on somebody now.
That's what I like right there, Perez.
Our last guy here, Kyler Gordon.
Yep, Kyler Gordon. I think he's going to be a starter as well, Perez. Seeing him being a starter, definitely I can see that happen.
Yeah, I think there's no way that he's not starting at corner. If for some reason he doesn't, then something very bad had happened, because I just don't see it. I mean, corner was the weakest position on this team last year. They shorted up. Drafted Kyler Gordon, who also he's known for creating turnovers. Right, and that's going to be something on this defense that's going to be a premium this season. Now, we talked about with Gordon that he missed the final week of OTAs and mandatory minicamp. The injury was undisclosed, but they're saying it was minor. So we'll just see. They're saying that he's expected to return for training camp. And I think once he gets out there, he'll lock down that starting role.
All I want to do is see him in training camp. That's what I want to see, Perez.
Yes, sir. Audience, as always, we appreciate your continued support and helping make us a top 10 Chicago Bears podcast. We're the Bear Essentials, and we are out.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.